Hey guys, it's fall. You are super busy. I can't believe you're even tuning into this podcast, but it is important that we keep ourselves fed on the Word of God. And I am so excited. We are having a party here in the studio, and we're going to have a party over the coming weeks because we are going back and we are going to review all of the incredible messages that we've never aired before from our Wake Up Conference last year. Every year, we have a national conference where we bring government and ministry leaders together across denominational lines. It's like nothing you've ever seen. We have prayer. We have worship. We have education and inspiration all around the Word of God. It's an incredible weekend. And this national conference, guys, this year is November 3rd and 4th. 3rd and 4th in Allen, Texas at Cottonwood Creek Church. Michelle Bachman's going to be with us. Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty Institute. So many others. Congressman Michael Cloud. Kyle Lance Martin from Time to Revive. And the list goes on. I'll tell you more of who's coming as we go through this series. But we're going to go back, and I am going, you know, think of movie and, you know, movie nights, right? Where yeah. You have popcorn. Hi, Cameron.
Sorry. Hello.
I didn't give Cameron a proper introduction, but this is Cameron Green. Cameron, how are you?
I'm great.
So for the next few weeks, Cameron's going to be in the studio with me, and we're going to like talk about all these videos, aren't we?
Yes, with some popcorn.
With some popcorn and Dr. Pepper, because we're in Texas. So all of you guys not in Texas, Dr. Pepper is where it's at.
That is right.
Yeah.
No Coke.
Yeah. But we want to make this fun. Cameron, thank you for coming on here. You're an author. You mentor young people. You're young yourself, and I love your heart for discipleship, Jesus, the presence of God, and I thought, you know what, if I'm going to hang out and do some intros and outros to all these videos from our Wake Up Conference last year, I want to do it with you.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
So as you can see, our set looks a little different, but yes. We're going to have fun with our popcorn and our Dr. Pepper, and we're going to talk through all of the videos from last year. Now, I want to say up front, the four headliners from last year are already on our YouTube channel. Eric Metaxas, Elizabeth Johnston, my message from last year, and then also Dr. Robert Jeffers all spoke at our conference last year. We released those right after the conference. But what we're releasing right now is videos that you've never seen unless you bought the whole conference package. One of them is our young persons panel. Cameron,
so
you were
funny.
On that panel.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody just a little bit of introduction on this?
My gosh, so many great young people. I was honored to just even meet them because sometimes you're like, it's not that you feel alone but and you're with great people, but to actually meet young people who have the exact same mindset and vision for Christians engaged in vision, but also being with those young people, like them having that same mindset was so encouraging to me. But yeah, I pray it's an encouragement to everyone watching just to see what the Lord's doing through the generations and that's the Lord's heart is for generations, which is so beautiful because then that puts a passion in my heart for my nephews, my nieces, the younger people in my life. So yeah, it's going to be very, very encouraging to you.
It is. And I just love being on stage with these young people. And these are all ones that we've walked with in some way through the years. Several of them work on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Some of them have been in politics and government for years. One of them is Senator Cruz's niece, Audrey Soule.
Yeah.
And then Cameron. And it was so great to have these young people on stage. So we're going to cut away to that. Enjoy this incredible panel, which I know was the highlight of everybody at the conference last year. They said this was their favorite part of the conference. So enjoy this segment with our Young People's Panel. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
I'm so thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Christians Engage Central mission, as you've heard over and over and over again, is to get people praying, voting, engagement. That does not mean that we are not engaging young people, which is the next generation of leaders, right? And so we want to inspire young people that they can get involved in politics, in government, and they can walk with Jesus while they do it. Can I get an amen? And so here's a whole bunch of my friends, and I am super excited. Will y'all join me? Audrey Soule, Yola, Manfred Wendt, Jonah Wendt, Cameron Green, and Eugene Ralph Jr. Will y'all give these young people a hand? Woohoo! Awesome. I'm going to introduce all of these guys. So Audrey Soule Yola is a graduate of Baylor University. She is a brand supervisor at the Richards Group, one of the largest PR marketing and ad agencies in the nation. Also has her own small business, Dallas Charcuterie, which we benefited from last night. Anybody in the VIP? Woohoo! She's currently writing a book about her family's life coming from tyranny to freedom. Oh, by the way, yeah, she's a Cruz. She previously worked for Mercury One, Glenn Beck's nonprofit, and in a U.S. Senate office in D.C. She enjoys public speaking, articulating her thoughts and values as a young conservative, and she's the daughter of Bibi and Marina Yola from our board of directors and niece of Senator Ted Cruz. Will you welcome Audrey Soule? Manfred. Manfred is the executive director of Young Conservatives of Texas, a nonpartisan conservative youth organization who's been fighting for conservative values for 40 years in the Lone Star State and publishes the most respected ratings of the Texas legislature. Now, when Manfred took over as executive director, we were dear friends back then, and we have watched this grow. In 2019, there was only 7 campus chapters, but under his leadership, it has grown to now active chapters on 27 college campuses in Texas. Manfred is very thankful for his strong Lutheran faith and his parents who raised him to love God and country. Thank you, Manfred, for being with us today. The twin brother of Manfred, Jonah Wendt, also strong Lutheran, works full-time in government in Washington, D.C. for our good friend, U.S. Congressman Chip Roy. After serving on several campaigns, including Ben Carson for president and Chip Roy for Congress in 2018, he went to work for now Congressman Chip Roy as his legislative correspondent. Will you welcome Jonah Wendt? Woohoo! Now, Cameron Green. Cameron, I am so excited you're here. She's been traveling with her parents, Rick and Kara Green, for over 10 years, doing presentations in America's biblical founding and American exceptionalism. She's part of a duo with her brother Reagan called Remnant Rising. You should absolutely check out their single, Stand. And she has a book that she's written entitled The Patriot's Daughter. She's now serving a church in Hot Spring, Arkansas, helping them develop a mentorship program for young girls. She is passionate about writing and helping people find their identity in Christ. Thank you, Cameron, for joining us. Now, Eugene Jr. is an intellectual and a thinker. He has an aggressive attitude when it comes toward adhering to biblical principles, protecting constitutional liberty, and electing those that adhere to constitutional governance. Now, this man has worked on many, many, many campaigns as a paid staffer and over a half dozen as a volunteer. He's currently working in project management, is a contributor with the Young Voices organization. He is also the son of Eugene and Lily Ralph from our board of directors. Eugene is not afraid to take on any subject related to the two things we shouldn't be talking about, politics and religion. Will you welcome Eugene Ralph? And last but not least, Madison Freeman. Madison's currently a senior at Liberty University studying Christian apologetics, which looks at biblical and cultural issues from a biblical point of view. I love Madison because she is passionate about helping people navigate our culture, bringing biblical principles front and center
one after another while speaking at various conferences and through social media. She is also the daughter of the famous Kevin Freeman from the Blaze TV on Economic War Room and our dear friend Marnie Freeman on our board of directors. Will you welcome Madison Freeman? Oh, and she works for Tubu also that you just saw, an incredible social media platform that you all need to get on that does not do cancel culture. So we are so thankful for Tubu. And we have a Christians Engaged site page on there, and also I have a personal page as well. So let's start. Audrey Soule, you have seen a lot being raised in a high-profile family, right? And being around many leaders in the conservative movement. And you've talked to a lot of young people and professionals, and they have to get through the fear of walking into a room with a whole bunch of old people, right? How do you counsel them to do that? How do you tell them this is important for us to get involved in, and we need to make this step into political activity? What does that look like?
That's a great question. Well, first, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute honor to be here, and it's so nice to be in a room with like-minded human beings. You don't really find that often, so it's amazing. But yes, it's not just what we're learning here within these walls, but it's equipping us with the tools to go out into the world and actually invoke change and make a difference, and that's so important. So thank you so much for what you guys are doing here at Christians Engaged. But you mentioned my family, so I'll talk about them for a second. I'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about them. But you all heard from Reverend Rafael Cruz last night and from my mom, Bibi Loyola, here at the conference, and I'm sure you guys know a thing or two about my uncle, Senator Cruz. He doesn't do much, but he's around. No, but it is an absolute honor to be a part of that family. You talk about people who really are passionate for a cause and stand on truth and stand for their convictions, and it's an honor to walk alongside of them and do life with them. But I'll tell you, I grew up with my brother Diego and I sitting at the feet of our grandparents, hearing the stories of the journey that my ancestors took from bondage in communist Cuba to deliverance here in the United States of America, ensuring true freedom for our family's generation and generations to come. And that's so admirable. And, we didn't listen to the Disney tales, so we didn't get all of that. There's still some Disney movies that we didn't even watch in English. So there's just so many things that we got to experience as children. And we grew up in a private Christian school. My parents sacrificed for us to be able to do that. And upon graduation, I moved out to Waco, Texas. I went to Baylor, like you said, Sick 'em Bears. And, you always hear, you make your faith your own in college. Once you're out of your parents' house, that's when you make your faith your own, your ideas become your own. Well, I was living as a Christian, and my ideas were my own, but that wasn't necessarily the case for me until I moved out to the swamp, to the East Coast, out to Washington, D.C., and worked on Capitol Hill. And, you talk about being a minority. Now, I'm very proud of it, but I am a Hispanic woman, Christian conservative at 25 years old.
Yeah, that's a minority.
I mean... You talk about having my work cut out for me, and like I said, I'm very proud of it, but I mean, it's crazy. Unfortunately, we don't have that very many of those around these parts these days, and so it is important for this next generation, because like you said at the beginning, this is the next generation of leaders, and as Christians, we always hear, oh, well, we're in our bubble. We need to stay in our lane. I don't want to say anything that offends me. I'm too young to actually... make a difference, to care. Like, why am I saying anything? I'm too young. There's all these old people. They know better, right? Well, I believe that, this generation is that generation that's going to pop that bubble. And as Ronald Reagan so famously said, yes, as Ronald Reagan so famously said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And I refuse to be that generation that makes that die. Because I'll tell you one thing, our freedom is worth fighting for.
Amen. Amen. And so what Elizabeth was saying earlier, that one person can make a difference. Can you imagine if Audrey wasn't staying in that place, right? And Manfred, so many people are just so upset about the younger generation. They're like, where are the people that are going to lead the way in America, right? And you get to interact with Protestants, Catholics, young people from across the faith spectrum on college campuses. What are you seeing, and what can you give encouragement to people?
Well, I think it's important to start by addressing the larger picture, which is, as an American... As a Christian in America, it is a very depressing time. Currently, 64% of Americans identify as being Christian. That's down 12% in just 10 years. When our generation's grandparents grew up, it wasn't, a question of whether you were Christian. It was, what kind of Christian are you? My grandmother, who was born in 1944, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, she said that there were two parts of town, the Lutheran part of town and the Catholic part of town. And we have to acknowledge that we're changing from a situation where America was considered to be a Christian country, American being Christian's part of our identity, to now living in a post-Christian culture. And how do we address that as young Christians? And not only are we losing people who are identifying as Christians, but some people who identify as Christians don't necessarily know what that means. A recent study came out that said 43% of evangelical Christians do not believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's how I reacted. Shocking, stunned silence. And luckily, there is some hope. As the executive director for the Young Conservatives Texas Foundation, I get to interact with now 30. We added UTSA and A&M about 76 hours ago.
Wow.
I'm able to see what young Christian conservative leaders are doing. And it's tough. When you walk onto a college campus, I went to Trinity University in San Antonio. Everything was from a secular point of view. It's something I had to de-brainwash myself out of once I graduated and moved on into the real world. But what I see is that while the quantity has dropped, as we've seen across society over time, the quality has increased. Wherever you talk about politics, you inevitably talk about religion, because where does 99% of everyone's political views come from? Their religion. I'll say that while there are less people that now identify as Christian on a college campus, these students are reading theology, they're really diving into the Bible, and they know what they believe and they know why they believe it, and they're not afraid to stand up for their beliefs in the college classroom, in the college square, and stand up for those beliefs, even if it does cost them socially. YCT chapters are leading the charge on college campuses against the Gnosticism of transgenderism, and we are very proud to be pushing back against that, even though at a public university especially, it's very hard to do so. We're bringing speakers to educate people on why that is not a real thing, and I am so proud of what my students have accomplished. And so while it's always darkest before the dawn, I think that this generation of young conservative Christians is going to suck up the pain, and it's going to push through and help reinvigorate and revive Christianity in the United States. Woo.
And Jonah, I mean, just your family has just put so much value and so much commitment to country and God in your life. And you go to Capitol Hill, right? You're running campaigns. You go work for Congressman Chip Roy. What's the role of a staffer that loves God, that walks beside these members of Congress to encourage them? A lot of people don't know what a legislative correspondent is, but he actually writes all the letters for the members of Congress to send out to the constituents. So all those letters you write when you complain about something are written by the legislative correspondents and signed off by the member of Congress. So what does that look like in your life there in D.C.?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you to Bunny. As someone who helps Manfred run YCT's annual convention, there's a million things behind those doors that went wrong. Bunny fixed all of them, and you guys didn't notice. So first of all, thank you to Bunny.
My team. Thank you, my team.
And then to answer the question at hand, so D.C.'s an interesting place to live. Most of the time, there's been protests a block from my house where they tried to take down a statue of a guy who freed slaves. But think about that one. But D.C. is also a good place to live. There's a strong, small-o Orthodox Christian community. I'm blessed with a great church and a great pastor who preaches Christ crucified each and every Sunday, and that helps sustain me. And then the idea of faith on Capitol Hill is that faith isn't necessarily what drives you. Faith is what sustains you. It's at the end of the long day when you've got everything went wrong that you know that you're a child of God and loved. And the idea that I honestly don't think I would have made it in D.C. if I hadn't been going to church every single Sunday, receiving the body and blood of Christ, getting my sins forgiven, and that my pastor said a very interesting thing. I believe it was a New Year's Eve or New Year's Day sermon, and he made the challenge of make the calendar of your life the calendar of the church. When the church announces a service, pencil that in, make sure you're going to it, and then put the rest of life around that. The church asked for an hour, hour and a half, 3 hours if you want to count getting ready and going to lunch afterwards, a week. We can do that. And then you can pencil in the other stuff, the youth group, the young adults group, the confirmation class, the weird Wednesday service they have because it's some saint day, the Advent, the Lent services. Go to those. Make your life the life of the church, and you're going to be in a much better place. And then in terms of staffing a member of Congress who happens to be pretty well-known, Congressman Chip Roy, my duty is to be faithful, and my duty is to serve him. That's my vocation in life as of right now, is to be a congressional aide. So, I mean, just doing what he asked, getting it done, doing my job, and that's the best way to serve him and make sure he can serve the people.
Thank you, Jonah. Cameron, I just absolutely fell in love with you when you came on one of our prayer calls with your dad. And I'm like, this girl can pray. And you are just so passionate about writing books and writing music for the next generation to inspire them on biblical values and constitutional values. What motivates you to do that at such a young age, to give up your life writing a book and everything you do?
Yeah. Well, one, thank you, Bunny, so much for having me. It's an honor. So songs, books, and novels, they are such beautiful avenues that the Lord has created to accomplish his will. And there's something about sharing biblical and historical principles through these specific creative outlets that embeds those said principles almost more deeply into a heart and a mind. So for one, it's just a powerful way to impart to the next generation. But ultimately, the motivation is 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The motivation is because he is worthy. And I do not know what all the Lord is going to do through me serving faithfully to impact the next generation for the glory of his name. But I do know that it's more than I could ever ask or imagine because of his goodness, because of his power. So I am to keep running the race. I am to keep stewarding each talent that he has given, waiting for his return, just like in Matthew 25. In verse 21 of Matthew 25, the master says to the good and the faithful servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I have set you, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." To be obedient to the will of the Lord is the greatest joy, because he is the ultimate reward. Our master is our joy. And as I strive to be a faithful servant, may it be to the next generation a, come on, run the race, endure to the end. He's called you by name, run the race. The baton is passed, and then they are equipped to do the same. Now, when it comes to impacting the next generation through historical principles, the why behind that, Joshua 4 tells us why. This is the coolest thing. So the Lord's people, they've crossed the Jordan River after the Lord has dried up all the water. And the Lord says to them to take 12 stones out of that dried river and make a memorial, so that, as verse 24 says, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So may we be faithful to teach our children what the Lord has done, to proclaim his deeds. Why? So that they may fear the Lord. And may we teach the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we know what to repeat and what not to repeat. But also, specifically in American history, we see the redemptive work of the Lord, as his will was the center of her founding, so that we can tell the next generation, look at what he has done, and they will give him praise. So what the Lord has done in this nation is incredible, and we cannot forget.
Ooh, that girl can preach. Yes. Eugene, I have known you for a long time, my brother, and I've watched you deal with disagreeable people and stand up for your beliefs. And you're one of my personal heroes. And I know we're not going to have enough time for you guys to completely fall in love with these people completely, but we're going to put them on our podcast. Eugene Jr. and I have already recorded our 30-minute conversation with him, where you can hear our whole story. But you're going to hear those on our podcast in the weeks ahead. But why do you do what you do? What motivates you, my friend?
Oh, well, what motivates me, it is to be a servant of Christ at the end of the day. And when I'm looking forward to what is it that we're really supposed to be doing, it is giving that gospel message out to the world. And we're also always trying to figure out how is it that we do confront it in this world that is increasingly disagreeable and hostile to our worldview. So, I mean, obviously there are some things that we have to keep in mind. To be in control, we have to be in command. So in order to actually give an account of the faith, which we'll all be called on to do at some point, we actually have to be trained to give an account of the faith. So we have to make sure that we're actually trained in the word before we can actually be in a position to defend it. But, you know, as Christians, again, these things can be a little heated, and it's really important for us to be able to control the temperature on these things to the extent that is possible. And so I would say that a big part of that just comes from kind of having an accurate view of the stakes here. Which for us, thankfully, are not exactly dire, right? So, I mean, if we're having a political conversation, I know that the fate of the nation is not wagered on any particular debate I'm having with some, you know, leftist that I might encounter in the world. In the same way, in the political realm, I'm absolutely certain that the kingdom of God is still going to be built to his full glory, regardless of whether or not every single conversation I have with a pagan has some sort of terrible, fiery disagreement. So it's not on me to make sure that every single one of these is actually a win, I would say, right? How do we win? We win by actually winning the souls. And an important part of that, right, is that understanding that we actually have to be in control of ourselves. Of course, it's not just us, right? It is actually God working through us. And that means that we have to make sure that we are the actual representative of the Christ. And that is in his nature. So continuing to give the truth in gentleness and in truth, but also in the firmness that we actually should be displaying in the world. So we are not responsible for all of those wins. It's actually up to God. And so we just give that up to him every time that we're in these kind of, you know, strange situations that we find ourselves in today.
Amen. President John Adams said, duty is ours, results are God's. Amen. Madison, you really have the passion for Christians Engage. I mean, you get this. We're looking at a passion for biblical truth and passion to get young people and people moving in their belief in God. As a Christian apologetic, talk to us about that. Talk to us about your zeal for truth.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bunny and Christians Engage, for having me here today. It's such an honor. I would say that my passion really comes from the word itself. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, give a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And I know that a lot of people think that that just applies to their personal relationship with God. And it does. Obviously, it applies to that. But also looking at different issues from a biblical worldview perspective. You know, people our age are pelted every day in social media, on the news, from other people with different events going on, different ideologies, different belief systems, just so many perspectives are out there in the world. And a lot of people my age, especially in the church, do not really understand what the Bible has to say about certain issues, you know, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, limited government, all of these things. They just don't understand. And so when somebody says, oh, I believe this, a lot of people my age automatically accept that as their own belief instead of looking at it from the perspective of the Word of God. And so I hope that we as Christians can encourage people my age, especially in the church through different teachings, to look at these hot topic issues from the perspective of the Bible and always ask, what does the Bible have to say about blank issue, instead of just blindly accepting everything that comes our way. And so really my passion starts in the word itself.
I want you to see the core, though, of the family that these kids came from, right? And the responsibility that we have as parents and grandparents to raise our kids in the admonition of the Lord. I mean, what an incredible heritage you all have been given. So we, with Christians Engage, we're building on-demand video curriculum on all these hot topics and on civic engagement so we can involve young people. We can get everybody on social media. You know, the Christian Coalition was so powerful back in the day, but we can't do the same thing in this generation. We got to do it differently, right? So give me 30 seconds, guys. We're going to go start with Audrey Stone, go down the line of what do you tell to motivate Christians, young people, to get into the Word of God and get involved with government? Quick.
I think that the biggest thing is knowing that your voice is going to be heard. So no matter, you know, how timid you are or how bold you are, whether it be in your faith or in your political views, knowing that God has placed you on this earth for a reason, and your ability to make change is just as big as the person's next to you. So not hiding your light, really letting that light shine, because God has a major purpose on your life, and just seeing that to fruition.
I think for me, I would encourage people my age, just get involved and start reading the Word. I know it can be kind of scary to look at the Bible. You're like, wow, it's 66 books and it's huge. But start getting into the Word and reading what God has to say about certain issues and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and to guide you into knowing His truth.
I would encourage my generation with Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. And a deer pants and needs a fresh drink every single day. So we can't live off of yesterday's drink. We need him today. So my generation, be absolutely desperate for the Lord. Know him and his word. Love him and keep his word. And watch the direction of this country change. Government and politics goes where culture goes, not the other way around. So that means that you, a young, spirit-filled believer, have direct, effective impact to go against the grain and win culture and country for Christ. So let's do it.
My suggestion would be find your vocation, get involved, and if God keeps on opening up doors, eventually you're going to be dragging your twin brother halfway across the country to talk to Bunny on a panel. But put your faith in God and let him open the doors. Politics is not for everyone, but it might be for you. You need to give God a chance to work that in your life.
So good, Manfred.
Just real quickly, he still lives with his parents.
No, seriously, though, I got to stop here. Manfred and I, like, we started an organization pretty much the same, at the same level. We were like, we have no money. And I call him, I'm like, I'm working out of my house. I'm working at my parents' house. Let's do this thing. Go ahead, Jonah.
No, I'll just be optimistic. God did not create you for despair. It's really easy to pile on with the negativity, but last time I checked, we're not throwing Christians in the Cowboys stadium, only Cowboys to get sacrificed. And then keep it simple. There's no secret sauce. Follow the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. That'll keep you pretty busy.
The indomitable American empire was built on a vibrant Christian community, and that has largely eroded over time. However, we have the opportunity to actually be part of rebuilding that. As we come to what looks like a weakened period for the American nation, we see that there's a lot of risk, I suppose, materially, if you actually speak the truth. But think about the actual kingdom that we're building here. So really, there is nothing for you to lose and everything to gain.
Woo! We can reach this next generation for Christ. This summer, I took 12 young women that have calls to ministry and government out to the hills of East Texas and poured into them leadership and William Wilberforce. And we're going to continue to do that every year as we raise up the next generation of Christian leaders. Thank you all so much.
Hey, guys, we're enjoying our popcorn. Was that not incredible? I mean, these young people, the inspiration that they give us, that they can love Jesus and serve in government and politics, or really just love America and be voices in this generation, is mind-blowing.
Yes.
Cameron.
Yes. The first thing that comes to my mind is pray for your young people, just like Christians Engage. That's the whole thing. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for your young people because, as you just saw, he is raising up a generation for his glory, and prayer is what is fueling us and igniting. As you pray the word of God, it is stirring in those young people's hearts. So pour into a young person in your life and then be praying for them.
That's so critical. And we get so beat down sometimes, those of us that are in our 40s or 50s, 40s, that, you know, what is happening to the younger generation? And y'all know I have two 20-year-olds and I have a grandbaby and I have one on the way. But you know, the ones that have been birthed in prayer and the word of God,
exactly.
That really makes a difference. And I think that was the core of what we saw on that stage that day, Cameron, was all of you guys have been raised in the fear of the Lord and the whole counsel of God. And that makes a difference, doesn't
it? Yes, amen. Yeah, it's so powerful. The word never returns void, just like it says in Isaiah. It will accomplish that which he purposes and succeed in the thing for which he sent it. So I know women in my life who were praying over their babies in the womb. A woman I know just like walking back and forth in her kitchen with her Bible open and praying over her baby. And now that baby is a grown woman of God who is one of the most incredible women of God I have ever met in my life. So yeah, so much power in prayer.
So much power. What could you say to some of the older folks out there watching us right now to give them hope?
Oh, wow. Just in general about younger generation. Oh, my gosh. Well, y'all have been in it for the long term game. Y'all have been running the race way longer than I have, than my generation has. But keep going. Just like we just said, invest in the younger generation. Just like I think about
what's it called, the race where you pass the baton.
Yes, relay race.
We need you to keep running so that that baton is able to be passed, and then we're ready. Like, we are, the Lord is raising up those people to say, I'm ready for the baton, but in order for us to receive it, you have to be ready to give it. And so as I see the Lord raising up young people, I see him just as much speaking to the older generation to show them, look, that mantle is getting ready to be passed, and just that passion he's igniting in them is equally as much as the passion in my generation. So,
and what I love about our friendship is you've actually inspired me and spoken to my life.
Wow.
And we have, you know, I want to encourage you, if you're in your 20s watching this, or you're in your teens.
Yeah.
You have a voice, and God can speak through you right now and make a difference in our world. And don't be afraid to speak the word of the Lord to people that seem to be older than you.
Yes, yes.
Because we need you. We need your passion. We need you to go after God with us. And I believe God is trying to break down some of these walls between the generations, too, and
absolutely
bring us into one body.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Amen. Yeah. That is huge.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Please share this video with your friends and family. Remember, our Wake Up Conference is November 3rd and 4th this year in Allen, Texas. You can go to ChristiansEngage.org to our events page and check that out. Or the conference website is thececonference.org. We love you guys, and we want to see you. It's going to be jam-packed this year. So join us November 3rd and 4th. We'll see you next week for another video with the conference. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.